Session number 12678, Mr. Ernest Jones, Reel 11.
Mr. Jones, Reel 11, you're telling me about your interrogation about whether you were responsible for
yes,
your own...
well, of course it was impossible for me to have clean socks every day. In fact, to get clean socks once a month was something, because you, if you washed them, you couldn't dry them anywhere. And I said that it was absolutely impossible. But they didn't seem to know what was happening up the mine. They were down at the base. Then they had no idea what was happening up there. And then he said, you had breakfast. And he said, what did you have for breakfast? I said, bacon sometimes, I said, and tea. And that. Oh, yes, tea, of course. He said, you'd have hot tea. I said, not very often was it hot. I said, it was about lukewarm. I said, you couldn't say it was hot tea. And he said, that's warm. And he said, now for dinner, he said, what did you have? I said, we had mutton stew. I said, and just according where you were, I said, when they dished it out, I said whether it was hot, lukewarm or cold. I said, it just according to where you were. I said, so more often than not, it was about lukewarm. So he said, that's two. And tea time, of course, you'd have tea again. I said, yes, that's right. You'd have, that's four, that's three. Now he said, I believe you had soup. At midnight. I said, yes, we did. They brought it round into the trench to us. And he said, now, what was that? I said, just pea soup. I said, but more often than not, that was cold. I said, but it was hot to drink because there was so much pepper in it. And he said, that's four. He said, all these meals were all hot when they left the cookhouse. Oh, I said, I suppose they would be. He says, that's four hot meals a day. Well, putting me down to four hot meals a day. And there was one or two more questions. I forget what these were. They were all to do with whether I had quinine and whether I did this and whether I did the other. And then, of course, he went. And a few days later, another officer come, put me through the same again.
The same questions?
Yes. And then after the doctor told me, he said, I said that I'd been interrogated for the thing. He said, yes, he said, they found that you didn't contribute to it. He said, so you're all right. He said, otherwise, he said, of course, it's a crime to get frostbite. Dear, I thought to myself, that's terrible. Then I was in the hospital there. And
so the treatment was just that they...
I had no treatment at all.
They just left them...
Yes.
...uncovered at the bottom
that's,
of your... So that
right,
your blankets
yes.
just came down to your...
Yes.
...above your ankles.
Yes.
And did you start to get the circulation back, or...?
Whether it started before I left there, I don't know. But anyhow, I couldn't walk. And when I was put down for invalided to Malta, and I was I was taken down on a stretcher and to the harbour at Salonika, and I was put on the Gloucester Castle hospital ship, and that took me to Malta.
How did they treat you on the Gloucester Castle?
Pardon?
How did they treat you on the Gloucester Castle?
Oh, well, to tell you the truth, the doctor put me on chicken and stout as soon as I got there. And I had it for one day, and I was seasick, and I didn't have any more. I got to Malta, and Lord Methuen was the governor of Malta, and he got a son. Well, I think he'd be about 24, 25. And this son of Lord Methuen was his aide-de-camp. And when Lord Methuen walked about, his son in all military uniform and staff officer strutted behind him. And, of course, Lord Methuen had got... he was a general, and he got one wooden leg. And... he come to see us. There was about half a dozen of us there. And we were on the stretchers waiting to be taken to hospital. And he came along and he was asking one chap, what do you belong to? Wiltshire Regiment, sir. Oh, well, he says, my old regiment, he says. I commanded the Wiltshires for so long, you know, and all that. And he was talking to him all that, and then he come to the there was about six of us there with frostbite, you see, and he come to the first and he said, what have you come with? So he says, frostbite, sir. And he says, what regiment? So he says, what regiment he belonged to. He wasn't the case of line man. Then there was about three of us from the KSRI. Where they come from, I don't know, but they were there. You know, I'd never seen them before. So they must have been from other companies. And so he come and asked each one, you know, frostbite, frostbite, frostbite. And he asked me, I said, frostbite, KSRI. And he turned round and he stood up there and he says, well, I hope that the next time you men come to Malta, you will come with an honourable wound. Lord Methuen, telling us to come next time with an honourable wound. God love him, his own son strutting behind him with the... Oh, dear.
You were upset.
Hey?
You were upset about that.
Well, good Lord, we thought... Well, we thought that was a very poor welcome for Malta. Anyhow, I was sent to St. Patrick's Hospital in Salima. And there was a little Maltese doctor there. And there was three of us from the KSLI together. And I was lying in bed and this doctor come to me and he was talking to me a bit and asked me about it. And he was a wonderful chap, little chap. He did the wonders on my feet.
What did he do to him?
He started to give me some treatment of, I don't know what he put on. But it was bandaged up, put something on and was bandaged up. And... you know, he did wonders. He got the circulation starting, but the only thing was when the circulation started, they were painful. But he started them getting better. And then I was moved from there to Cotoneira Hospital, which was a Cotoneira Hospital in Malta, in Floriana. And that was a big military hospital. And I I was getting then that I could, they'd allow me to get out of bed into a wheelchair. And I had a wheelchair, if you like, I could get about in.
Did you think you'd be sent back to England, or what did you, or did you want to go back
to your unit? No, I expected to be the same as they were doing, sending them back again. See, as soon as you could stand and fire a rifle, you left and went back again.
Did you worry about being sent back? I mean, did it bother you?
I was satisfied to be where I was. I was open at last. But anyhow, I was there a time, and it was December. And, they'd got my feet on the mend, and they were all cotton wool and bandaged up and one thing or another, and it come to, and I had this wheelchair, and the hospital was level, and all round was a balcony all round the hospital, and I could go out through the double doors. There was every so often was a set of double doors open, you see, and because it was Christmas, and it was hot there. It was like a summer day in England, in Malta, at Christmas. And I was going round. I used to go up through one door and round there and come into another. And I was having a right time in Malta. And we overlooked the harbour. We could see the Queen Elizabeth's battleship, dreadnoughts, coming in, and the destroyers and all that, you know, from the Mediterranean fleet, and different transports and hospital ships and that. And you used to watch, and of course there was always a flag put up and there when the mail arrived, and of course they always looked forward to mail. But I didn't have any while I was at Malta. And then Christmas Day come, 1917, and the doctor come and sat on the side of my bed, and he said, Mr. Jones, he said, oh no, he didn't say Mr., he said, Jones, we are sending you to England tomorrow. I thought to myself, good Lord, that's the best Christmas box I ever had. Well, Boxing Day came, they come and dress me up, put me on a stretcher, and take me down to an ambulance. An ambulance whipped me off to the quay, and I was put on a lighter and across to that ship. The His Majesty's Naval Hospital ship, Rewa. R-E-W-A. And
how did you get aboard?
I was carried with a stretcher on through the side of the ship. It was like a wide opening on the side of the ship, and we were carried in, and I was put in one of the cots. Well, they were like iron cots on two stands that they'd swing, you know, with the ship, if that. And I was put in one of those. And that was in the early afternoon. We were a few hours later, they sailed out of Malta.
Now, it was a naval hospital ship, wasn't
yes,
it?
Yes, that's
so
right.
So most of the people on board were sailors, I understand.
That's right, yes. And that was for sailors. And they'd been round the Mediterranean fleet collecting sick and wounded sailors, and what I made out, they'd got 50 empty beds, so they took soldiers to make up their complement, and I happened to be one of them. And we were off, we come out, and it was a wonderful sight, that ship, you know, when I was being taken out to it to see it there, with the Red Cross, big Red Cross on it, and the green band all painted white, and it was a marvellous sight. And we sailed out and we came like what was it, about 3 days to Gibraltar, and we got into Gibraltar, and we were there for a few hours, and I'd got one or two sailors as used could walk about, you know, and they were used to come and talk to me or something, and they were asking about Salonika and all that, and we used to tell them all about it, and one of them said to the other, when there was a couple of them there, he said, "Hey," he said, "did you see him leave?" And he says, "Why, who do you mean?" He said, "That Spanish officer." He said, "He's gone." And he said, "Well, he'd be back, wouldn't he?" He says, "We're sailing in an hour." He says, "He'll never be back." You see, it was a stipulation then that the British were carrying ammunition and wartime material in their hospital ships. And so it was stipulated between Germany and England that a foreign neutral officer was to travel on our hospital ships to see that this wasn't done. Now, he left us, he was a Spanish officer, and he left us on Boxing Day. He went home, I suppose, for Christmas. And we came from Gibraltar without a neutral officer on board. Now, the funny thing is this: how did the Germans know there was no neutral officer on board? Spaniards. You know, in this country used to give information to the Germans, you know. And anyhow, whether they did or whether they didn't, we came up and into the Mediterranean, and
You came out of the Mediterranean.
Out of the Mediterranean into the Atlantic, and we come up the coast, you see, of Portugal, would it be, or Spain? Portugal. And then a sailor come and told me, he said, I believe there's something going to happen. He said, according to what I can hear, the wireless chap was telling me that there's a pack of U-boats about. He says, not far away. He said, so I don't know what the captain will do about it, he said, because he said, with that neutral officer going, he said, we're a bit vulnerable. So, anyhow, we went up and we turned into the Bay of Biscay. And we had a terrible storm in the Bay of Biscay. Oh, dear, dear. Ooh, it was a storm. And I was terribly seasick. And there was an old chap, an old sailor. He come down to talk to me. And he said, not feeling too good today? And I said, no, I'm not. He said, I'll cure that for you. He went to the galley and he got a thick crust, toasted, almost black. And he said, here, you know on this. He said, get it all down you, gnaw on it. He said, and it'll do you good. And you know it cured me seasickness. Well, we came out of I don't know how long we were in the Bay of Biscay, but we came out of the Bay of Biscay when I suppose they'd got the all clear, and came up for I suppose we up the coast of France, I suppose it'd be we were, and this was the 4th of January 1918, and we were to the next day on the 5th. We were supposed to dock at Avonmouth. See, so we were getting pretty close home and getting a bit excited about it. Well, we came out into the Mediterranean and coming up for coming up the Bristol Channel. And I was thinking in my pot, I was lying in my cot, and I don't know why, but I kept on thinking about a song that my dad taught me when I was a very little kid. And it was, "Rocked in the cradle of the deep, I lay me down in peace to sleep. Secure I rest upon the wave, for thou, Lord, hath power to save." And that was, I was thinking about that when I dozed off to sleep.
Were there many people in the room with you? Was it a
There was just all cots, all chaps there, you know,
like
sailors and soldiers.
About how many on that deck?
Well, I should think, there should be 50. See, and I went to sleep anyhow. I don't know how long I'd been asleep, and I didn't know what happened, but I felt myself come with a bump onto my bed. I seemed as if I'd been up in the air and come down onto my bed with a bump, and I gathered my senses and looked out. It was all darkness and smoke, and then it started manoeuvring. There was started some rowing and shouting down the from the deck, "All patients on deck with the life belts." Well, I couldn't understand it. It was dark, we couldn't see. And one or two sailors come and lit candles, and so they were, and they were helping chaps, you know, that couldn't get out of
bed. Was the siren going?
Eh?
Was the ship siren?
Oh, yes, the ship was going. It was going zoop, 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 zoop. And anyhow, I got me trousers on and put my cap on, and I didn't put my tunic on, I don't know. It was under the pillow, and I jumped.
Got
down.
About a life belt?
I got down, you see, to get it to go.
Did you have a life belt on?
Yes, I put my life belt on, and I got up to go. I forgot. I couldn't. And I went down flop on my face. I couldn't walk. So anyhow, I'd got to get up on that deck. And I went on my hands and knees. And I got up the steps and onto the deck. But when I got onto the deck, it was like a bright starlight night. You could almost see, you know, like it was dark, but lit with stars so much that you could see what was happening. And there were sailors standing about in groups talking. And they're still shouting down, "All patients on deck with their life belts." And they were carrying chaps up on stretchers and laying them on the deck. And there was chaps shouting down from below, "Come and help me, come and help me." And they were bringing them up. And
was there any panic?
No, there didn't seem to be any panic at all.
Did you realise that you'd been
hit
by a drill?
No, it was an alarm, I thought.
You thought it was
a drill? But I thought it was what had happened. It didn't strike me that there was anything different, which was it was.
What about the thump? You had... You know.
I don't know. I whether I was mesmerised or what, I don't know.
But
I got there on the deck, and I went on my hands and knees, and there was about four or five sailors talking together, and I called up, and I said this is a fine time to have an alarm. Because we had alarm on troop ships, you know, ready for anything like this. And then one sailor looked at me and he says, "Can't you walk?" I said, "No." So he said, "We got it this time, son." He said, "This is no alarm." So I don't quite believe it. He says, come here, he said, and a couple of them lifted me up onto the rail at the side of the boat, you know, and he said, hold on to that stanchion, he said. He said, we'll see to you when it's time. And I thought, well, what's happening? And the ship was all level. Nothing. I thought if the ship was sinking and the other, it'd be on one side and all that. But it was level, just ordinary. No lights or anything, and the zoop of the thing, and the shouting about orders and all that, and sailors standing there talking, and there was no panic, nothing that you could say would put the wind up you or anything. And, I just didn't believe it. And then they come, abandoned ship. Then, of course, the sailors all went into action.
What were they doing?
And they started, you know, lowering the lifeboats and lifting chaps into them. And I was sitting on the rail just by where this boat was there. And a couple of them pulled me over, not very gently, but I was glad to be pulled over into the lifeboat. And I was put to sit down there. And they lowered the lifeboat away when we were full up, and it went with a plop onto the sea, and there was a quartermaster off the hospital ship in charge of our boat, and the sailors got the oars out, and he says, come on, lads, he said, get your oars out, and those were all right, you know. They got their oars out, and he said, get away from her. He said, we don't want to be taken down with her.
Now, when you look back, what state was the Rewa in at that? Was it tilted by then, or was it still...
No, it was level. Only, I noticed when we come down onto the sea, the deck wasn't very high. Not as high as it usually was from the face.
In other words, it was settling in the water steadily, you know.
That's right, yes. And when we got away, the ship was there level.
And what about the seriously wounded? Were they put into the boats?
Who?
The seriously
wounded. Yes, they were put into the boats. And
could you see?
I only knew what happened with my boat that I was in.
So you don't know if all the wounded were got away?
Well, as far as I know, there was only five as were killed. They were killed in the engine room.
So the only casualties were...
Five Lascars.
Were from the actual...
Yes,
torpedo.
Explosion of
the
torpedo.
So the crew and the medical personnel evacuated everybody?
Yes, yes.
So there was no... That must have been... Were you impressed by that?
Eh?
Did that impress you, the way they performed the duties?
I never thought about it. Didn't do it. I was living in a trance. I knew what was going on, and yet it didn't register to me. But I heard what was going on, and the quartermaster in our boat says, come on, lads, he said, get your order, get away from her, he said. We don't want to be taken down with her when she goes. And so they started rolling away, and he should get as far away as possible.
Did the Rewa still have its lights on? And was the siren still going?
No, there was no lights at all. No. But the siren was still going. And we got away, and we saw the others, ships, the boats being lowered and that. And we got away, and when we got so far away, he said, that'll do, he said, ease your oars. And we were there, and we were watching the ship.